Lord, it's incredible how we can feel you in everything that we look at, that anything in the world, Lord, that we can look at it and see your love and see your grandeur and just see all of these amazing things that you've put together for us. And I'm so thankful for that son you sent to die for us, Lord, that while we are still sinners, he chose to die for us so that we can be seated beside you one day. Lord, I'm just so thankful for every single person in this room, every single heart that is here to worship, and I pray every single heart is open and can feel you in this room right now, because you are so powerful. You are moving in every single one of us. There's not one person here that does not have a purpose for being here, Lord, and I pray they find it this morning. And this message that you have put in John Paul's heart, Lord, I pray he delivers it with your voice. Speak through him. Touch our hearts, Lord, and keep us captivated by your love. So when we leave here, though temptations may arise, we know that you have already set us above them. We know that no matter what we face, we can overcome it with you. And I just pray, Lord, that we can take this and remember it. And I just pray for all the people on the prayer list, Lord, that you heal them. Just give them your hand of love and guidance and comfort. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
That was awesome, wasn't it? Woo. And, you know, the best part of it, it was powerful. It was wonderful. I love the way the Holy Spirit works. You know, it's crazy how, as I was listening, how I prepared those songs for the message that he laid on my heart today, and the words, and to me, there's just nothing like that, how he does that time and again. And there was the one line in the second to the last song kept resonating in my heart. It says, "I am who you say I am." And I thought, isn't that amazing that we are who he says we are if we believe it, but first we got to believe that he is who he says he is. And I thought, that is just so crazy how that's right where we're going today. And along with that line of thought, that thought process, can you put up our mission statement for a second? With that thought process, I thought, you know, in that last song, it says that if creation still obeys you, so will I. And I think every one of us has that choice to make every day. It's like, okay, truth is we know you're God. Truth is we know you're out there. Truth is we know you are who you say you are. But we wonder and we doubt and we sometimes think we got a better plan. And so we've got to make up our mind. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to find our own way? You know, on this journey that we're going on, I've been really touched by our mission statement. And our mission statement to reach the unchurched Western culture. I would really like to qualify the rechurched. We are part of the body. We are the church. We are churched right here. We are part of the family. Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking about that. I think we need to understand what the gospel is. You know, when I put that out there, we all get an idea what we think the gospel might mean. Everyone in here, when I say, what is the gospel? You got this idea in your head. And I do too. You know, I come up with it. And matter of fact, it was really interesting in my searching. I was dead sure the first thing that I was going to run into was the good news. As I Google, so wonderful, you can find out anything through Google. As I started searching and Googling, it was not the first thing I come into. It wasn't even the 10th thing I come into. And I thought, isn't that crazy how we get these ideas in our head, how it's going to be? And then when we're confronted with the truth, it looks a little different than we thought. Is the gospel the good news? It is. In fact, it is. But when you pull it up, the first thing is it's a message. It's the account of the Christ Jesus. It is It is the truth. The gospel is the truth. It is the creed of our Lord and Savior. In all of that, yes, it is the good news. That is, but I was really, it really set me back to think how that was so different. And I've thought about how things are, you know, when you, that this is the truth, the gospel's the truth, and when we hear it, we know that it's true. There's, in that moment when you hear it, you know. Oftentimes we get in this place where we think, well, this other might or might not be true, or maybe I got an idea that's a little better than that, and we get to compromising with it. But the word says differently. And I want to read something to you where we're going here. We know that the gospel is the message. And the very last, first place I want to go is actually the very last chapter, the very last verse in John. Because I think that this has to be stated first. The very last verse in the book of John. We're going to be all today, we're going to be entirely in the book of John, except for when I'm done with this, we're going to read from 1 John. And then we're going to go right back to John, and we're going to go through it quite a bit. And we're going to discover what we can about the gospel in the time allowed today. But that being said, here's this verse, the 25th verse of John, the last chapter of John, which would be the 21st chapter, says, Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. There ain't time in your lifetime to explore all the things that the gospel means. So there's certainly not time this morning for me to get the full picture, but I'm going to get a snapshot of the part of it that I feel drawn to. So if you would turn with me for a second to 1 John, first chapter. And if we go down here to the fifth verse, this is the message we heard from Jesus. This is the account. This is the thing that he told us. And now declare to you. And I was thinking about this. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. So if we go continue living the way we used to live, claiming that I asked Sheila to make a contrast for us. So we got light right now. It is bright. You can see anything. It is real obvious there's light right now. Or we got this. There's a pretty big difference. And if we turn the lights. Now, I think it's really interesting that when that light's on, there is light over there. But where we are, it's dark. It's also really interesting to me that if we spend any time thinking about it at all, we know it's dark. We know it isn't quite right. And when we stumble into the truth, though we may not know exactly how to march it out, we may not know exactly how to carry on, we know it's true. And I was thinking about, there's all kinds of things. Everybody's got their stories in their life when there was that aha moment about the things that you want to do. You know, if you like showing cattle, there was that moment that you saw that bull that was like, that dude there is the truth. That is where I want to be headed. In my case, I remember it. There was a long time ago, there was a man, he's passed away since. His name was Larry Reeder, but he rides through the herd and he's riding this horse called 4 Acres. This horse didn't look like a little cutting horse. This thing stood about 15'2", and he was beautiful. And he rides up through there, comes around the edge of the herd, cut in a way I'd never seen anybody at that time cut. And he just did it so slick and so pretty and so cowboy looking. And when he gets this cow cut, he slaps his hand down And this horse moved slicker than any horse I'd ever seen a horse move before. And I'm like, that's the goal. That's the deal. And I was thinking about those stories like that in my life, those moments when that's the truth. That's who I want to be. That's how I want to be like. This morning on Facebook, my friend Heather Leeper, she tags me that we had been friends for 7 years today on Facebook, longer than that in real life. And she makes a statement that she was blessed by it, and so was I in crazy ways. So it made me think about all those stories. But one of them that really stuck out with me was with her husband, Andrew. I was going through this time, you know, when any time you're in ministry, you're always in the spotlight, you know. And so if somebody's going to throw rotten tomatoes, they're going to throw it at the guy that's behind the mic, you know, for sure. And that's just the way it is. That's part of the deal. And so I was going through one of those times, and there was a person making some statements real publicly in our community about me that had grains of truth in them but were a long ways from the truth. Andrew calls me up one day and he says, I'm done doing business with that guy. I'm like, Andrew, this is my fight. You do not need to quit doing things that impact your life on account of me. He says, John Paul, shut up. You're my four-letter adjective friend, and I got your back. And right there in that moment, I'm like, that is the kind of friend I want to be. Irregardless of the consequences I go through, I want to be that friend. There's those moments. I was sitting in jail. There was a couple of years when I had this jail ministry, and it was really powerful, and it was awesome. I was sitting in jail. I was. I go there every Sunday. And I got to leave every Sunday, too. Gracie used to love, she'd call me, and she would even like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in jail. It's crazy. They'd let me in there, and I'd be like, oh, man, I still got my knife on me, everything. I'll just pull my coat down a little bit and preach to them. They eventually quit having it because they said, we can't keep you safe in there. And I'm like, these guys are not going to bother me. And I knew that was true. But there was a moment, there was a day in there. There was like 14 guys in that room with me, and I was sharing the gospel, and there's this guy in the back. And he was tough, really tough. And I learned that you could just tell them the truth. You could just slap them in the face with it in there, and they would receive it. And so I was just telling them the truth as it came, and he looks up, shocked. And I'm like, you know it's true. He said, I do know it's true. How do I know? I said, because it is the truth, and it's from the way our Creator created you, and He made that truth, and you know when that truth hits, you know it. So we all got those moments, this is light. The only way we don't know whether we're in the light or the darkness is if we're choosing not to look. If we search around just at all, if we wonder, am I in the right here? Probably no. I mean, really. So I want to go with you as we explore the gospel this morning. I want to explore the truth. I want to explore the truth of who Jesus says He is. And I found this really powerful. If you'll turn with me to the sixth chapter of John. And we're going to go through several times Jesus makes this statement and John recorded it. This is the account of Jesus according to John in a nutshell. And I found it really amazing. And there's something really powerful that I want you to get out of this. So if you turn with me to John 6, chapter, put the old man readers on so I can even, verse 15. No, verse 35. That three turns into a three when you get these things on. You get it right. Chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. And I think it goes on to say, and they will thirst no more. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. We are who he says we are. Right now, let's explore if he is who he says he is. He says he is the bread of life. He is not the bread of our stomach. He is the bread of our life. He is the nutrition that our life needs to be fulfilled. Anything else that we do is going to leave us empty and wanting more. If we are wandering around outside in the dark, no matter how we choose to fulfill it, at the end of the day, it ain't going to be enough. And if we choose to follow him, if we choose to stay in the light, whether it makes sense or not to our head, in our spirit, we'll know that it's true. And at the end of the day, we will be more than satisfied. And that's the truth. He is the bread. He is the nutrition of having a fulfilling life and making a difference. Turn with me and let's see what else he says. Now let's go to chapter 8. This time we're going to turn to verse 12. Jesus spoke, this is verse 8, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am, again he's making this statement, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Again, he makes this statement one more time. He don't say you'll have the light that leads you to a better way. You won't have the light that'll make you a little more comfortable. He says you will have the light. You will have the path. You will be able to see. If you come to me and you use me to see, you will be able to see to have a life. Isn't that interesting? Life. Turn with me now to 10, chapter 10. Verse 6. Verse 7. So he explained to them, I tell you the truth, I am, again he makes this statement, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the way for the sheep. Who's the sheep? Those that are following, those that he's herding, those that he's directing, those that will let him guide their lives, those that have accepted that he is the nutrition their life needs and the vision that their life needs. Now he is saying, I am the gate, not the whole fence, not the path. I am the gate, the only door. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me, and we could say, and after, all who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. Saved from guilt, saved from an incomplete life, saved from wondering what they should have done. I had this good friend one time, and his mama had been an alcoholic her whole life. In the last 2 years of her life, she found Jesus. She walked away from the alcohol, and she became the mother she never was. And when she passed away, her son, who was my friend, he was real heartbroken over the whole situation. And I'm like, you know, she's with the Lord. He said, I ain't worried about all that. He said, I just can't quit thinking about all the things that might have been if she'd have figured it out quicker. and I thought it was hit me so powerful. And the things that will avoid, that we can avoid that by using him for the nutrition, by using him for the light, for going through the gate that he is, for allowing him to be our shepherd. But the true sheep do not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely. Who don't want to be free? And will find good pastures, good nutrition for our bodies. We are going to be more than we ever thought capable if we follow him. And then down here in verse 11, it says it again. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And I got to thinking, this is so relevant. Not only is he the way, but he, if we start doing what we can to stay in the light, he is willing to put himself between us and the darkness, between us and the being lost, between us and the misery and the death that is going to be available to us right outside that light. He's like, not only am I going to lead you, not only am I going to give you the good nutrition, but I will sacrifice my very life to see that you're okay, that you find it, that you're covered, that you have forgiveness, that you have what I say I am. And let's see what else he tells us. Turn with me now to verse chapter 14. Verse 25. He's talking here to Mary and Martha, and they're mourning their brother. He died. And they're like, if you'd have come sooner, he could have been saved. And he's like, Martha, verse 25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Again, he says it, and the life. I am the resurrection. No matter what you were before, no matter how dead you were before, no matter how lost you were before, I am the one that will raise you out of that to life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying, irregardless of what you've been through, even death now. Nothing. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. This is 26. Oh. 11. I said wrong chapter. I'm sorry. 14. Let's go back to 11. I apologize. Thank you. 11:25, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this, Martha? And I'm asking you here this morning, do you believe this? You know it's true, but do you believe it in your believer? Yes, Lord, she told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah. This is 27, the Son of God, the one who came in the world from God. Yes, Lord, she told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah. You are the way. You are the freedom from the things that I could have been without you. Now let's go to 14. 14:6. And when we're done here, we'll go to 15 for just a minute. Jesus told him, I am, again he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He makes that same statement again, life. I am. He doesn't say, I am a way. He didn't say, I am a door earlier. He didn't say, I am a light. He said, I am the light. Here he says, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life, the only one that is waiting for you and available of true life. I am it. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you would really know me, you would know who my Father is. And now you do know him, and you have seen him. He was telling Peter, Philip. My point with this is as we go, we got this choice to make. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to know? Are we going to continue in the misery that we have created through our own doing? The dissatisfaction. I mean, that's our choice every day. Are we going to be in the light, or are we going to be in the dark today? I was thinking about that all the time. We got those choices to make. Is this light or is this dark? It's crazy how, and it comes so fast. Last night, I wanted to get some quiet time, and I wanted to study on this thing. And so I'm using my phone because I can Google, and I can go back to the scripture back and forth. And all of a sudden, there ploops up this message that I have an email, which I am not much of an emailer. Matter of fact, I stink at it. So it's amazing. But this message comes that you have a new email from Janet. Janet? So I go and I open my email to see what in the world this could possibly be. And in the title it says, "From Janet, you have 8 new pictures." I'm like, oh, this is a big distraction. This is not where I need. I was certain that was dark. That was not going to be the light. But I thought, isn't that amazing how that just shows up right in the middle of the distractor? He comes in all sorts of ways, and all of a sudden, if we're not questioning, is this light or is this dark? Is this the door or is it not? Is this truth or is this a lie? If we don't explore that question, all of a sudden, we're following the distraction. We've got to go to the question. Once we ask the question, we know. Just like that guy in the back of that room. He's like, I know. How do I know? Just like it is in here for you today. You know. And you know that it's him. I'm just asking you, if you're in here and you've never made that choice, I want to help you make that choice. I don't want you to leave here today without making that choice solid, that I'm going to walk in the light from here on out. I'm going to accept you as my life. I'm going to believe that you are the bread. You are the nutrition. My life needs to be a full and satisfying life. If you've never made that choice, please see me or somebody before you leave here today, and let's pray about it. Let's make that choice. If you have, then you're like the rest of us, and you spent part of your time in the light and part of your time in the darkness. And the reason we get there is because we haven't explored that question. Is this light or is this dark? Once we do, we know. Let's go with me one more time to 15 here. To verify, and I'm going to close with this. Right in the beginning of chapter 15. I am the true grapevine. Again, he says it. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. You're like, I want to produce fruit. I don't want to be cut off. And he prunes the branches, and this part is not always enjoyable, believe me. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more fruit. But the result is awesome, and it's wonderful in every one of our lives. Once we go through that pruning process, and then we start stepping further into obedience, and he starts producing more fruit because we were obedient, not because we deserve it, but because we're obedient. I was thinking about it before we got started. I have the greatest job of anybody I know. I am so blessed to be part of y'all's lives, that I am here and that he trusts me with this is nuts. The only way that I can do it is to stay in the light, because I don't have the capability or the intelligence or the education to pull it off. But he already knows everything that he needs y'all to know. I just got to love on you and be obedient and be blessed by it. It's crazy. And it's freeing. Let's keep reading just a little bit more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message, right? Today it has happened. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you, the gospel. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. It's never going to be us. It's never going to be about us. It's never going to be because of us. It's going to be because we're attached to him, and he's going to do amazing things through us and produce impossible fruit through us because we're attached to him. And then it says, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Verse 5, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like useless branch and withers. I'm going to tell you right now that, my God, that does happen, and I have seen that. But he waits and he nurtures and he prunes and he gives you more fertilizer and he tells you the truth one more time and he gives you a lot of chances to figure out that he's the vine. And here you are this morning with that same opportunity. It's like, you know what? I believe it. I know it. And I am going to stay attached to you. I'm going to quit being partially attached and some of my fruit not being good because I'm running in my own power part of the time. I'm done with that. I'm going to stay in the light. Are you with me this morning? Let me finish here. But if you remain in me, verse 7, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Anything. You're like, wait a minute. He said, if you remain in me. Oftentimes we ask for stuff that he hadn't. It was because we're part in him. We got one foot in the light and one in the dark, and we're asking for stuff. He's like, no. If you get all the way in me, anything you ask, I'll grant it. Because we'll be in communion already. You'll know what you're supposed to ask for. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and these things bring great joy to my Father. So the choice is ours this morning. It's ours every day, light or dark. We just got to ask ourselves that question. I'd like you to bow your heads with me. I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'd like you to impose this question upon yourself. Have I been living in the light, or have I been living in the dark? If you're anything like me, your answer is a little of both. But God, forgive me this morning. I want to be fully in your light. I want everything that I do, Father, to produce much fruit because I am fully attached to the vine. Thank you for pruning me. Thank you for being patient when my fruit was weak and anemic, dried up. But here we are this morning, and we're choosing to attach to you. Father, I pray that each and every person in this room is fully committed to you, fully committed that you are the nutrition for their life, that you are the gate, the only gate, that you are the light. There is no other. You are the way, that you are the life. I praise you for this. I praise you for what you've done in my life. I praise you for what you've done in this body. I praise you for making each and every person in here part of mine and me part of theirs. I love you so, and I pray right now, Father, that if there's anybody in this room that has not yet made that commitment, or if they're making it right now, that they would somehow make it public, that they would pick somebody to pray with them, and that they would join the rest of us fully as we attach to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Something we didn't do is we haven't had the prayer list up there. Let's pray over that as we close out of here. And, you know, I thought about a point that, oh, yeah, Naomi had a great, you know, we have attached to that little family, and that was, she, all of the new spots are not there. They went this last week to Dallas and or Fort Worth, and all of her new cancer spots, when they went to see how they were doing, they just weren't even there. Prayer works. And it's amazing. And so as we go through this, let's stay diligent about praying for those on the list. Pray for me. Pray for this body. Pray for the others that are in charge, that are in leadership positions in this body. We need each and every one of us to make good, godly decisions in the light. We need to be aware of where we are. You know, I was thinking of one thing that I didn't say earlier that I wanted to, is through all of that, he said seven times he made that statement, I am, which means nothing else is. He is saying, I am. This is everywhere else it ain't. And so, pray with me. Father, yes, you are. Yes, you are the answerer of prayers. Yes, you are the deliverer of sickness. Yes, you are the mender of spiritual anemia. Father, you are the one that can draw us to you. You can change us. Everyone in this room has been changed to some degree or another, or they would not be here. And Father, but we are not, none of us are mature yet. We have not yet become who you would have us be fully. And so Father, I pray that you would continue to show us the steps that we're to take, that you would continue to be our light, our gate, our life. And Father, I lift up each and every one of these on the list. Father, I pray that those that have health issues, that you would heal them. Thank you for what you've done with Naomi. That is awesome. And they don't yet know where the stuff that used to be there, they don't know where it is. Father, I pray that it is just like the new spots, that it is gone. Father, I pray for those that have unspoken, I pray that you would give them direction, that you would make it clear their path, because you promised us you are the light. You are the only light. You are the only one where we can see where we truly need to be going. And oftentimes it won't make sense to those that don't know you, and it don't have to. Father, I just pray that you would make yourself known in that way. I pray that you would protect this body, that you would continue to nurture it and grow it. And I pray that you would be with each and every leader, that you would fill them with your spirit and your knowledge and your truth, and you'd give them the courage to take the steps in your direction. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.